Asbestos is a material that Americans don't hear much about anymore, but there was a time when it was pervasive, used in buildings, paint, fabrics, and car parts. That all changed, though, as the dangers of asbestos became apparent, and nowadays most of us associate it with cancers and lawsuits over asbestos exposure.
But it turns out the substance was never actually banned in the U.S., and after all these years, that may finally happen. It's a move that's facing lots of pushback from the chemical industry, which continues to use asbestos despite the health risks. All of this is detailed in a new report published today by ProPublica and NPR. Here to share more about the story are ProPublica reporters Kat McGrory and Neil Betty. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I have to admit I was shocked that asbestos isn't banned in the U.S. What?
Yeah, I even thought it was banned when we started reporting. It turns out that the U.S. only banned using asbestos in certain ways, so it was mostly banned in pipe insulation. Now, that was in the 70s, and we did see lots of companies voluntarily stop using the mineral, but that wasn't because the government told them to stop. It was more in response to a wave of lawsuits from people who were getting sick after being exposed to asbestos.
And just to add, we quickly realized that the United States is an outlier here. Asbestos has been banned in dozens of other countries, including Australia, Chile, Saudi Arabia, and the entire European Union.
Wow. So before we get more into that, Kat, can you remind us, what about asbestos makes it so useful?
Of course. Asbestos is a naturally occurring mineral that used to be mined all over the world. And what was so special about it was that it was durable and it was heat resistant. So it was used for things like bricks and drywall and insulation. Through the 1970s, really, asbestos was pretty much everywhere. And that was until people realized just how hazardous it was.
And Neil, we mentioned the risk of cancer. Why exactly is asbestos dangerous?
Asbestos is extremely dangerous. Individual asbestos fibers are so small that they're invisible to the naked eye. If you breathe them in, those fibers can move throughout your body and get lodged inside your lungs or your abdomen and do some real damage. Those fibers can stay in the body for decades, so over time that might lead to the scarring of the lungs or even several types of cancer like mesothelioma and lung cancer. Some of those have very low survival rates. Given all of that, one of the things we wanted to understand was why the U.S. has lagged behind on banning asbestos. And it turns out that the main reason, in recent years anyway, has been one industry. That's the chlorine industry.
Okay, so what does asbestos have to do with chlorine?
Well, the chlorine industry is responsible for pretty much all of the asbestos that comes into the U.S. Two companies have imported hundreds of tons of raw asbestos in recent years. Those companies say asbestos is essential for making chlorine at some of their older plants. That's because they're dealing with big tanks full of highly reactive chemicals that need to be kept apart. So they use thick metal screens coated with asbestos. Now, there are many plants in the world with newer technology that don't need any asbestos. But here in the U.S., there are about 8 older plants that never made that change. And they make up about a third of the country's chlorine.
And now we're going to hear some of those voices. We asked health reporter Sarah Bowden at member station WESA in Pittsburgh to drive up to Niagara Falls so she could see the old chlorine plant herself and spend time with some of the workers in the ProPublica NPR story.
Just south of the Canadian border, a half dozen men are gathered around two tables at Judy's Lounge Bar and Grill. They're paying for lunch with pensions they earned working one of the more dangerous jobs you could get in Western New York.
I'm going to have the poutine pop.
Okay, on tater tots or fries?
Fries.
That's Mike Spicone. For 4 decades, he worked for OxyChem, which owned a chlorine plant here in Niagara Falls. About once a month, Mike and a handful of guys he used to work with at the plant, which they call Oxy, meet up for lunch. But the table this month is emptier. One of Spicone's old co-workers died this summer from bladder cancer. Another recently had surgery to remove a tumor.
When I see my friends that worked in the plant at a young age getting all these different cancers, I have to wonder, was it because of what they were exposed to?
Spicone is talking about the many hazardous chemicals he and his friends worked with at the plant. One of those was asbestos. It's a nearly indestructible mineral, ideal for making chlorine, but it can be deadly to people. As a heavy equipment operator, Spicone used to transport 2,000-pound pallets of the stuff. When his payloader hit bumps, Spicone recalls little plumes of asbestos puffing into the air. It looked like talcum powder. It's been known for many years that asbestos causes cancer, but Oxy was allowed to keep using it by promising they'd follow extensive safety protocols. Mark Justiana says he felt pressured. If you open your mouth too much, the bosses start looking at you. As a father, he needed the job.
I graduated high school. I made $100,000 a year. Where else am I going to go making that kind of money? So it was, a give and take.
So Justiana and his colleagues tolerated the risk for decades. Then the plant closed last year. When those jobs disappeared, so did the incentive to stay quiet. Driving around the fenced-off perimeter of the Oxy plant, it looks like the city skyline on an alien planet, full of silos and sharp angles.
Straight back, you see that? It looks like it's 20 feet tall, that tan building with the white pipeline running on the roof line. That's J12, where the asbestos was brought and used.
The chemical reaction to make chlorine also produces hydrogen. To keep those substances separate, people like Henry Sines would coat metal grates in an oatmeal-like paste of asbestos. But overnight, it would dry.
And then you'd come in the next day, and then you'd have to wash down before you got started to make sure you took care of any residue. But, it's still in the atmosphere, and if it's dry,
Spicone jumps in.
Every flat surface, eventually, it would settle on.
They remember how the dry asbestos would get into the hard-to-reach corners.
It would pile up behind the lights, behind the fixture itself.
Sign says the only time the asbestos would get cleaned up was before a pre-scheduled visit from federal regulators.
They'd go to the parts of the plant that look good. It's like putting lipstick on a pig.
What makes Sines and Spicone particularly mad is that by the early 2000s, there were ways to produce chlorine without asbestos, though that would have required Oxy to retrofit the plant.
It's cheaper to extend the permits by lobbying.
So instead, some Oxy employees believe they paid with their health. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Bowden in Niagara Falls, New York.
All right, turning back to you, Neil and Kat, I know you spent the better part of a year reporting this story for ProPublica, and you heard from many workers in the chemical industry who've been exposed to asbestos. Can you tell us more about what you found?
Yeah, in fact, we spoke to more than a dozen former workers at the Oxy plant in New York, and they said asbestos had hung in the air, that it had accumulated on the lights and the beams, that it was even inches deep in some places. They wore protective gear for some tasks, but they walked in and out of the building throughout the day without special suits or face masks. One guy we write about even seemed to have some always stuck to his mustache.
And just to be clear, experts told us there's no safe level of asbestos exposure and that the situation in this plant was totally unacceptable and fraught with danger. Now, we should say that we reached out to Oxy for our report. The company said that the health and safety of its workers was its top priority. It also said that the accounts we heard at Niagara Falls were inaccurate, but it wouldn't specifically say what was incorrect.
Okay, so in your story, you say it looks like the U.S. might finally ban asbestos after all these years. How realistic is that?
There seems to be more momentum than we've seen before. In April, the Environmental Protection Agency announced a proposed ban on asbestos, a move that many public health experts said was long overdue. But that rule isn't finalized yet, and it may take more than 8 months for that to happen. Meanwhile, the chlorine industry is fighting really hard to defeat the proposed ban or win some kind of an exemption. Once again, we're seeing the industry make the argument that the companies use asbestos safely. They've also got some real political heavyweights on their side, including a dozen Republican attorneys general.
Now, we did speak to Michal Friedhoff, who oversees chemical regulation for the EPA, and she said her agency was not going to back down from the science and that our reporting really underscores the need for decisive action here.
So, yeah, there's one line from your piece that really struck me. You write that asbestos is the quintessential story of chemical regulation. What do you mean by that?
That's right. What we've seen here is a case of industry really calling the shots, and unfortunately, workers paying the price. And it's not only that. This is a test case with huge ramifications. There are a lot of observers who are looking at it and saying, If the EPA isn't able to ban asbestos, a substance that we've known is extremely dangerous for more than a century, will it be able to protect the public from any toxic chemicals at all?
We've been speaking to ProPublica reporters Kat McRory and Neil Betty about their new investigation into asbestos. Their full story is on NPR.org right now. And I should mention their reporting is ongoing. So if you have tips or your own stories, you can go to ProPublica.org/chemicals to share them. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.